subject, as I told you, is needed that everyone in the assembly should know who is the elder. How we appoint or how we recognize an elder. These are the subjects that we will be considering tonight. Whether we have pastors, whether we have bishops, these are some of the questions. Some other churches you go, they say that we have a pastor, isn't it? And some other churches you go, they say that we have bishops. In some places they have archbishops are there. In some places they say that our head is Pope is there. And some say it is a cardinal. Is this, all these words are really confusing all of us. What the Bible says about it, that we are going to examine tonight. Some of the things are that. Now, Philippians chapter 1 verse 1 is the passage which describes the composition of a local assembly. And local assembly is consists of three things which is mentioned there. Bishops, deacons, and saints. That is what it is mentioned. Philippians chapter 1 verse 1. That is a very important verse. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, with the bishops and deacons. So it is very clear division of the local assembly is given. A local assembly is consists of saints. All those who are the part of the local assembly are believers. No unbeliever is a part of the local assembly. Of course they can come and listen and go, there is no doubt about it. But they are not the part of the local assembly. So the local assembly is the composition is saints and they have leaders. They are bishops and deacons. So we have bishops. Bishops is a biblical word. It is not an unbiblical word. So bishops are there. So this is the composition. Now before that, going into that, let us look into another passage which speaks about the elders and the leaders of the assembly. Shall we turn to Ephesians chapter 4? These are some of the very important passages which we need to consider. Ephesians chapter 4. Now comes to the leadership here. Again we see verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Here again we see the leadership of the local assembly, or the universal assembly also. Assembly leaders, who are they? Here we read the answer. Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists and some are pastors and teachers. So the church at Ephesus, actually the message is given to the universal church, to the whole body of Christ. So God has appointed these leaders to the whole body of Christ. How many are there? Children can count easily, isn't it? How many leaders are here? Four. Vinod says is four. Are this what the children says about it? How you counted it or not? How many are there? Four. 12? Four it is? Or five? Five, you are right. Five, right? Good. Then anybody else? So we have a confusion between 4 and 5. That's normally happens, isn't it? The word some appears 4 times in that verse. But if you count the items there, it is 5. Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors and teachers. So the pastors and teachers are linked together. they are the leaders of the universal church. Of course, the universal church and the local church is a replica or a visible expression of the universal church. Now, why God gave these people here? The reasons are mentioned. Verse 12, one verse if you read, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, one verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God has given these leaders for the growth. Edifying means for the growth. So that they should be perfected. Perfected what? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So all we should grow into the likeness of Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate objective. We should all grow. When we grow, we will all look like how? Like Lord Jesus Christ. As I always used to tell, when I am getting older and older, I am looking more closer to my dad. Isn't it? That's a natural. Whenever I go to the village, I have left my village 30 years before. Many have never seen me. But when I go there in the village, when I walk down, the people look at me. They had never seen me earlier, but they will immediately say, oh, you are the son of Koshi. I said, yes. How they understood? Because I am very much similar to my dad. Somebody has seen last week, Anup, and was telling them, oh, he was so looking like Koshi only. Koshi Matthew. Why? Because the similarities are there. But he grows. As we grow older and older, we'll be looking like our parents. Same way God is expecting that we grow, when we grow spiritually, we should look like Lord Jesus Christ. They should see, others should see Christ in us. And for that purpose, he has appointed leaders. And they are the leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now, whether we have apostles today, that's the question. Normally some churches, they say that they have apostles. Whether we have apostles today in the church, whether we have prophets today in the church, if we carefully examine, we understand this particular title of apostles and the prophets, as apostles especially, is given to the 12 disciples of Lord Jesus Christ. So in that sense, we have no more apostles. All the 12 disciples died. Today we don't have apostles. What about the prophets? Of course, the ministry of the prophecy also has come to end. Now I will read one verse to make it more clear. If you, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. Now the building of the church is mentioned there. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And we read in verse 20 like that. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And who are the others? Apostles and prophets. They are the foundation of the local church or the universal church. It is a universal church. If we say that today the apostles and the prophets are there, that means we are still in the foundation level. We are not grown up. Actually, we know that 2000 years are over. The foundation is over. Now we are completely about, the structure is about to complete. We cannot say that we are in the foundation. The apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. Not at the top. They are already there on the foundation. So their ministry is available for the church. Even now the ministry is available. How we get the ministry of the apostles and prophets? Because they are written the God's word. They have written the New Testament. It is available for us.
When we read the New Testament, the ministry of apostles and prophets are available for us. So if anybody comes to you and say that in our church we are apostle and we are prophets, don't believe that. It's all false apostles and false prophets. There's no more apostles and prophets today because they are the foundation of the church. Now the foundation is over, it is about to complete. So no more apostles and prophets. But their ministry is available for us. In that case, available remaining things, we have three leaders. Who are they? One is the evangelist, other is the pastor, and the third one is the teachers. So, we have three leaders at present to the universal church. Then we'll come to the local church later on. We are talking about the universal church. There are pastors are there, evangelists are there, and teachers are there. As I told you, if you consider together, the word some is appearing only four times. In that case, if you see that, even you count it five gifts, you can see that. But the number four item number four, if you look at that, the some are pastors and teachers. They are cannot be separated. That's like a twins. A pastor is a teacher. A teacher is a pastor. I always say that it's like a Siamese twins. You know, Siamese twins means it is joined together. It cannot be separated. Of course, Siamese twins can be separated. Here it cannot be separated. If somebody says that I am a pastor, he should be a teacher. If somebody says that I am a teacher, he should be a pastor. So the pastor teacher is a combined gift. It's a gift God has given for the church. Now look at the ministry of these three things. That is evangelist, pastor and teacher. Of course, pastor teacher combined together. Now comes to the evangelist. What evangelist speaks about? Whenever he opens the Bible, whenever he speaks, what he will speak? He will speak about gospel. Or the faith, believe in Lord Jesus Christ. So his main concentration is faith. He wants to see that the people should grow in faith. The faith cometh by hearing. He will preach the gospel. Sometimes people believe that the gospel preaching is only for unbelievers. Not like that. Even believers, when we hear the gospel, our faith increases. Initially, we trust upon the Lord when we believe, that's true. But not only that, as we hear it again and again, our faith increases. Because the gospel is the dynamic, is the powerful. So it always transforms the human beings. So the evangelist always speaks about faith. What about the pastor? Pastor is always speaks about love. He loves the flock. Pastor means shepherd. A shepherd will never kick his sheep, you know. He always loves the sheep. He always takes care of the sheep. We know about one sheep, one's lost. He had 100 sheep. One he lost. What happened? Then he said, "Oh, let it be. Oh, I have 99. It's like that? No. What happened? He went in search of that lost one. When he found it, whatever, he took a stick and started beating it. We don't know what we see. He took that and kept upon his shoulder or shoulders. Shoulders he kept it. It's not on one shoulder. Both the shoulders he was keeping. So, till he reached home, he kept it. So we see the mind of a shepherd, the heart of a shepherd is a loving one. So a shepherd, a pastor, will always speak about love. Love, love. I remember George Dawson was telling sometimes back, he went to Andhra Pradesh, Nandiyal or somewhere. And when he went there, he met a elder there. So the brother came and said that, brother, I am the elder of this assembly. Oh, he was very happy to meet the elder of the assembly. So he said, okay, you are the elder. Then after some time he asked, what brother, what you are doing? He said, I am a welder. A elder should be a welder. He always makes the people to love each other. Not only he loves it, he makes the people to. Of course, I am talking about the real, that was a real welder only. What is the really, the duty of an elder is that he welds. He just joins people together, helping them to love each other. We read about John and James. When the Lord has called them, what they were doing, you know that? They were fishing. We don't read that Peter was fishing. He was an expert fisherman. Of course, the others were also fishermen, no doubt. When God called him, Peter was fishing. That is what we see. But when Lord called John and James, what they were doing? You remember that? They were mending the net. See, they were mending the net. They were joining people together. That is really, if you look at the first John, if the writings of the first John, children, how he is calling? Children, isn't it? How lovingly he is calling. And there he wants to love each other. Love each other. So his entire theme is love. He was mending the net. Broken threads are joined together. And that is the mind of a pastor. The heart of a pastor is that he will mend the net. If you go with a net, a broken net, I have done that, what will happen? If you fish it, what will happen? All the fishes will run away. Not a single fish will come inside. Before going for fishing, what is needed? You should mend the net. All the thread should be proper. If it's a big hole is there, everything will go. So the pastor's duty is to mend the net. That is what we read about John the apostle. John the apostle is otherwise called as the apostle of love. He was really had a pastoral mind. So the pastor's duty is to speak about love. Then who is the teacher, isn't it? What the teacher's duty? Teacher's duty is the future things. The hope, we have a hope. The greater truths of the biblical truths he has to explain. The strong things, the deeper he has to go deep down into the scripture and expose the truth to the people so that they will develop or grow in their hope. That is what we read about the teachers. In the Old Testament also we have a lot of comparison with that. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle has to be carried by three group of people. Who are they? Remember? Three group of people, when they remove all the tabernacle material, it was divided into three groups. Merari, Gershonite, and Kohathites. And Merari and the Kohathite, Gershonite, they have some bullock cart was given to carry. But nothing was given to one group of people. Who are they? Kohathites. You know what they have to do? They have to carry everything upon their shoulder. No bullock cart, nothing is given. And they have to carry the most precious things inside the tabernacle. Like the Ark of the Covenant. The table of the shewbread and the lampstand, all these precious and the valuable things should be carried by the Kohathites. And that is the duty of a teacher. Speaking the greater truths of the scripture. And he should expound the truth to the people so that their hope will increase day by day. So we see that Lord has given at present, three leaders to the church. One is evangelist. He always speaks about faith. He always speaks about faith. Jesus Christ died for you. And pastors and teachers. Pastor is speaking about love. And the teacher, he speaks about the hope. In the national level, we know there are a lot of teachers are there, pastors are there, all these things are there. I'm talking about to the body of Christ, not only brethren, I'm talking the whole body of Christ. God has given able evangelists. The best example of the last century, we know that Billy Graham. Billy Graham, thousands and thousands of people heard the gospel from him. Now he is in 90s, very weak. But you know, the world had heard him more than anybody else. And thousands of people were saved by his gospel preaching. When you look and read his books, his very interesting books, very simple books. And whenever he writes any book, it ends with the gospel. He cannot otherwise write. One day in my childhood, I used to read about his book on Holy Spirit. I thought it will be a deeper, very expounding scripture about the Holy. Of course, he expounded the truth of the Holy Spirit. But in every page, you can see the gospel there. Because he's an evangelist. He always speaks about the faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, in Kerala, we have very familiar with another well-known preacher whom you know the last century who lived. That is Emmy Cherian. Whenever he speaks the gospel. He was a good orator in that way. He shared the gospel to the people. But at the same time, there are some, those who whenever they speak, only they know the doctrine. Nothing else will come out. For example, you know the John MacArthur, he himself writes at the end as a John MacArthur, pastor teacher. That is how he titles himself. He is a pastor teacher. Pastor and teacher are a combined gift. So if you read the John MacArthur's book, you know, one verse he takes and 5-10 pages he writes. I don't wonder how he writes about it. So much of exposition of a simple verse. His principle is one verse at a time. That's what his principle. One verse he explains in detail. Maybe hours together he explains. So a teacher, a good teacher, goes deep down into the scripture and expounds it and makes the people to love the Lord and to love each other, and not only that, their hope also will increase day by day. So these are the three gifts at present that God has given to the universal church. One is evangelist, other is pastors, and other is a teacher. Now let us have a little more detail about it. Already evangelist by faith. The pastors, they speak about love, and teacher, he speaks about the hope. When you come to the local assembly, we don't read these titles. Philippians chapter 1 verse 1. There we see a different leadership is mentioned. That is, you know, overseer, elders. Words are used again. Bishop. Overseer. It is otherwise translated as bishop. In the original Greek language, it is called as episkopos. Episkopos. Elders is a Greek word, is presbyters. Presbyters. Elders means presbyters. And pastors, as I told you, they are referring to shepherds, shepherding. So we have different words for elders. Overseer, bishops, pastors, presbyters, shepherds. Actually, they are all interchangeably used. We will find out that, how they are used interchangeably. Interchangeably used. Overseer. In local, in vernacular language, it is translated adhyaksha. That is a person who chairs, who is the adhyaksha, who is the overseer. He oversees the things, whether everything is going on properly or not. So he is an oversight or an overseer. It is oversight or overseer. And in the Greek language, it is translated as episkopos, bishop. Now, as I told you, elders. Presbyter, it is otherwise in the Greek language, presbyter. Pastor in the Greek language, it is called as a shepherd. Now, why these three titles are given? Bishops, elders, and pastors. When we call a person as a bishop, that speaks about the office of the person. He is in the office, he is authority, he looks around everything and see whether everything is going on fine. So he speaks about the office of the person. And when we call a person as an elder, it shows his maturity. His age, it indicates his age or maturity of the person. Elders are referring to that, the maturity of the person. When we call a person pastor, we mean what type of work he is doing. He is feeding the flock. He is feeding the sheep. That is why he is a pastor or a shepherd. So it indicates the work of the person. So we have seen three things. One, the episcopos or bishop, it speaks about the office of the person. Elder means it speaks about the maturity of the person. And thirdly, pastor or shepherd, he speaks about the work of the person. Now the question is that, whether we have bishops? He's thinking whether we have bishops, brother. Huh? No. Hmm? Whether we have bishops, children are thinking. Huh? Whether we have bishops in our church? Yes or no? Now comes to whether we have bishops. Acts chapter 20. Verse 17. The Paul is in the tour journey and he wants to talk to the believers or the elders of Ephesus. So he sent a message that you please come and meet me. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, we read like, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So it's very clear that Paul is inviting only the elders. So he called the elders of the church at Ephesus. They are just talking. They came and he started talking with the elders there. Now comes to verse 28. Please carefully read that verse. It's very important. Now he's talking to the elders and telling them. You look at that. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseer. Episcopos, bishops, that's the word. Holy Spirit hath made you bishops. So who are they? Elders? They are? We are afraid of saying bishops. They are bishops. Elders are the bishops of the local assembly, local church. Then again you see the next part. To feed the church of God, what is their duty? To shepherd, the word is the same, shepherd, or in a literally translation, pastor. Pastor the church of God. So, we have pastors. Here, who are the pastors? Elders are the pastors. They are feeding the flock. They are the bishops. They are the overseer. They look around and see everything is going on fine. So, they are the overseers. So, we have bishops, we have pastors, we have elders. What do you mean by that? They are interchangeably used of the same person. So, suppose somebody come and ask you, I want to meet your pastor, what you will say? No, we don't have any pastor. Is it like that? We have pastors. We have pastors, those who are feeding the flock, those who are taking care of the sheep. They are the pastors. So, we know we have bishops in the brethren assembly. Bishops are there, okay. They don't have the gown, isn't it? Eh? Dress is not there, but bishops are there. Bishop means? Who is? Overseeing, oversight, who is looking after the things. We don't have bishops of a district or a state like that. Every local assembly is having a bishop, is a pastor, is an elder. Then why we are not addressing ourselves a pastor, bishop and all? That's the question. Isn't it? We should have called them, eh? Bishop Koshi Matthew, isn't it? Eh? Why we are not addressing like that? Nowhere in the Bible we read that anybody, you have read anywhere that Bishop Peter, Bishop Paul, is there any verses like that? We don't read anywhere that they were addressed like Bishop Peter or Bishop John. Is there any addressing that Pastor Paul, Pastor Peter? We don't read anywhere they are addressed like Pastor Peter, Pastor John. But we can read that elder is addressed. John the elder. Yes or no? We see that John the elder is writing to the believers. And Peter says, I am a co-elder. I am a fellow elder. So they are identified themselves as elders. So we used to say that elders. See, you understood why? Somebody ask you, why you don't have pastors? You don't say that we don't have pastors. We have pastors, but we don't address them as pastors. We don't address them as bishops. But we always address them as, of course, it is always better to say brothers. That is what we read in the Bible. If you want to address a particular thing, that its position, office in the church, it is better to address as elders. You know, in the Bible, we see that whenever they are addressing each other, how they used to address? Reverend, Mr., is it like that? How they used to address? They used to address brother. Even Paul, we see that Peter, when he was addressing Paul, he is not saying Apostle Paul, he is not saying like that. Of course, when they write letters, they say Apostle Paul and all. But when they are addressing each other, they used to address brother. There are so many references. Peter himself says, we know the brother Paul has written an epistle letter. He is not saying Apostle Paul has written. He said that brother Paul has written. So we see that whenever we address each other, it is better to address as brothers. That's what we do that. We never address elders at all. It's not like. But when you write an official letter or the documenting, the authority of writing that letter, so sometimes we may have to use the word elder. That is what we see. So these are the principles we see in the New Testament. So when we think about it, we have to follow what the Bible says. We need not to follow what others are doing. Sometimes we don't know why we are all doing these things. And they say that our appacha was doing like that, our grandfather was doing like that. That is what our answer is. We have to search the scripture and find out what Bible speaks about it. And we have to learn it. I think that learning process takes place in the local assembly. So here I think the names are very clear. Should not confuse with that. This is the interchangeably used. Now when you come to the local assembly, as I told you, the local assembly is mainly, these titles are used, elders and deacons. Deacons are another group of leadership in the local assembly. Now, the related with the elders, there are so many things we have to learn, especially the appointment of the elders. Who appoints elders? The verse which we have read, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit appointed you, has made you overseer. So who has made the overseer? The Holy Spirit. So no one is self-appointed. It is appointed by the Holy Spirit. Now some people think that the assembly should have an elder. Only without the elder an assembly cannot function. It's not like that. Assembly will be formed in the course of the time. The eldership will be visible and it will be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And the assembly is recognizing that. That is what we see. In the course of time, local assembly recognizes them from their work. This is the way they are appointed or recognized by the local assembly. Appointed by the Holy Spirit and recognized by the local assembly. Now the word appointed, which is translated, which we have read in Acts chapter 14 verse 23, we will read that. Acts chapter 14 verse 23. And they had ordained, or the word ordained is not a correct translation. The KJV has made a mistake in that. Actually, the correct translation would be appointed. When they had appointed elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. You know the background of this particular statement. We know that Paul and Barnabas, they went and preached the gospel to many places, and many churches were formed in the first missionary journey. At least we have a record of 4 churches was formed during their journey. And after the formation of the churches, local churches planted here and there, and they came back to Antioch and given the report to the church at Antioch what happened. And we read that they remained there for a long time in the church at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas. After some time, Paul felt the need of visiting these churches again and to see how they are established, how they are growing. So they discussed about it. You know the conversation between Barnabas and all. Finally, a lot of problem was there. But later on, Paul decided to go to these churches again. So he called Silas as his friend and said, "Silas, you come with me. We will go and visit these churches." This is the background of this particular verse. And when they visited the churches, and we read, read that they ordained or appointed elders in every church. What does it mean by that? There was a time gap between the formation of the church and the appointment of the elders. So it is not the first appointment of the elders, then the church formed. It's not like that. Church is formed and church continued for a long time, for some time, without the elders. And the elders were appointed by the Holy Spirit. They were functioning there as elders. They were functional elders were there. And again, when the Paul and Barnabas, Silas, they came back, and they saw that there are some believers, they are functioning as elders. Or they are taking care of the sheep. So they appointed. The word appointed means raise the hand and point out. That's the meaning. They raised their hand and pointed out, "Brother, so and so, they are taking care of the sheep. They are concerned about the sheep. They are loving the sheep. They are looking after the sheep." And said that these are the elders of this assembly. So they have none. There was no voting. There's no majority decision. Nothing was there. Nothing is mentioned. So in the appointment of the elders are not by the majority decision, not by a war, by the voting, but the Holy Spirit is appointing a brother, and somebody has to point out. They are recognizing. That is the meaning. Somebody has pointed out. They are the elders of our assembly. So they have appointed. The word appointed, the Greek word, means to point out by raising the hand. What was the criteria for pointing out? That is the question. That I think we will consider in detail later on. Various things have to be considered. How to appoint an elder. There are various factors has to be considered. And one thing is very sure. An assembly needs an elder. It cannot remain without a leader for a long time. If there is no leadership, no elders, what will happen? Disorder will penetrate. Disorder will come. And Paul sending another brother, Titus, and telling that you go and appoint elders in every city and make the things in order. That means if the elders are not there, there is disorder. So elders are essential for the orderly function of a local assembly. So these are some of the things we are going to consider in detail, if God willing, in some other classes. And this is a subject which is a very much a detail we have in the Bible. I think we will also consider in detail about this leadership in the local assembly. So we have studied two, three things here. One, the leadership in the universal church, that is evangelist, pastor and teacher, that is given to the universal church. And a replica, same thing we see even in the local church. But in the local church, they are called as elders and deacons. Elders are the official leaders of the local assembly. We'll consider why they are called the different names and all. And the main duty of the elder is to feed the flock, pastoring. He has to feed the flock. He has to take care of the flock. So that is the main duty. And he should be a man who is laboring hard. He is a hardworking man. He is not a lazy fellow. Some people think that the pastors are the lazy fellows. It's not like that. Bible says that they are working hard. And they labor in the word and labor in prayer. These are the two duties they have to do. They have to labor in the word, God's word, so that they may be able to feed the flock. And also they have to labor in prayer. Do you think the prayer is a labor? Is it hard work? Yes, it's a hard work. The powers of the darkness always try to prevent it not to pray. When we come and sit in the prayer, we know so many disturbances may come. And we have to struggle, we have to labor. Both the things, laboring in the word and laboring in prayer. These are the two main duties of the elders. And that they have to do it in love. May God bless this verse to our heart and let us understand how God has structured a New Testament church. Pray for this ministry so that Lord will bless this ministry.